The heat is on the Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast.
The heat is on the street.
Is the real estate market hot or cold during the winter? In this episode, Mike Riley and Mike Ferrante give us an update about the status of the real estate market in Cleveland. We also discuss what repairs and maintenance you need to be aware of when you own a rental property, especially during the winter months. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Riley with my sidekick, Mike Ferrante, on a cold February Sunday afternoon, right before the Super Bowl. And Mike, how you holding up with this cold weather?
Oh, it's not fun, but you know, Mike, we're used to it. We're tough here in Cleveland, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm going to Florida tomorrow. Going down to the Florida Keys, where it's going to be 78 degrees all week and sunny.
That sounds awesome.
So I'm going to be down there for the wife and I for 10 days, get out of Dodge, and I'll still be checking in with everybody, you know, working remotely, but still it's, but you're going to get a little bit of a heat wave. It's going to be in the 50s. So hopefully when I get back, middle of the following week, the snow will be gone. And the only thing we'll see are those iceberg snow mounds probably still be here because they take a while to chip away. So
yeah, you know, and everybody thinks the winters here are so brutal, but got to be honest, right? The last couple of winters haven't been that bad.
Exactly. Well, we had ice removal on our contracting business, and we haven't had to do ice removal for at least 3-4 years. I mean, it's been cold, but I think what makes Cleveland and any upper Midwest winter so bad is when, you know, it snows a foot. And then the snow just sits there for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And then it snows again and melts off a little. It snows again. And pretty soon you got to be real careful pulling out of your driveway because you got these big snow mounds at the apron. And you can easily scratch your car with these snow mounds.
Yeah. And I think to tie this back to real estate, you know, one of the things we talk about, Mike, is understanding if you're not from a climate like ours, what it means when you're investing in real estate here is that you've got different challenges. You know, people are probably saying ice removal. What does he mean?
Exactly.
And I think if I understand what you're talking about, it's how we get the snow and then the sun hits it and it melts and it turns into like a glacier that either starts creeping up the roof or hanging off in the form of icicles, right?
Yeah. When you look at these icicles, they can turn into icebergs. So for those of you who are thinking of investing in Cleveland, thank you, Mike, for saying that, because that is right on, spot on. What are the repairs and the maintenance that you have to be aware of when you own rental property? And one of the things is you may be getting ice building up in a valley on the roof, or on a seam where there's an addition and a flat roof. These are where these ice bergs can cause leaks inside the house, believe it or not. And there's nothing wrong with the roof. The ice is actually creeping down the house and coming in almost sideways on a drip edge on a window, or coming between the gutter and the flashing of the house roof. There's nothing wrong with the roof. It just happens to be a combination of events that cause, you know, these ice leaks inside, not to mention frozen pipes, you know, in a sink or a powder room in a basement. Even if it's rented out, you may have a portion of the house that's suspect to that kind of severe damage.
Yeah. Public service announcement, guys, if you have vacant houses, turn off your water mains. At least if a pipe breaks, it won't be catastrophic.
Right. Or there's other little tips you can do. You can drip, drip, drip. You can have go over to the house, or you can have your property manager go over and secure the property, pour a little antifreeze down in the pipes, drip, 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 you know, with a little faucet here and there. Just be prepared to, you know, check the house. And of course, the other thing is if you have a faucet in the garage, on an unheated garage, that could explode if it's not a frost-free faucet or exterior faucets. We've seen that cause a leak in the basement when the pipe just freezes. And we're talking about severe cold. We're talking about, you know, it gets down to the teens at night for a couple of days. That's when you can really get that, you know, those problems cropping up. So, all right, now that we've got everybody turned off about Cleveland winters, let's talk heat check, Mike. February, middle of February, we've had a couple of bad snowstorms. Has that dampened the seller's market or what?
Mike, it has not. You know, I was predicting that we were getting ready to plateau on this seller's market and inventory shortage. And it looks like maybe we haven't hit the bottom just yet. I'm looking at the numbers, and what we've got here is another new all-time low in residential inventory in Northeast Ohio. So we're down to an all-time low of 1,796 listings. I thought it might level off. And then, you know, springtime is usually when the listings start to pick up, and it does traditionally drop in winter. But man, it dropped again. It's been steadily dropping since October. And the good news is that the days to sell, you know, how when it's a really hot seller's market, homes are selling in a day, a week, a couple weeks. We're still looking at right now, median days to sell. That's from listing to when it transfers, 31 days, which is still lightning fast for Northeast Ohio. But
well, okay, wait. Okay, to the non-investor, shouldn't it be from when it's on the MLS to when it's under contract? Isn't that a more accurate? Because I mean, you could literally put the house on a market on Monday, and it could be under contract on Tuesday or Wednesday, right?
Yeah, it can. And then it could take another 30 days to close. Unfortunately, days to contract is not a statistic I have access to. But what I can tell you, I do track the numbers on a week-by-week basis. And so, for example, just talking single-family residential, the number that went under contract on a week-to-week basis actually went down a little bit. But the problem is that listings, the number of active listings keeps going down also.
Right. Okay. So sum it up another way. It's a white hot market.
Yeah. White hot market. There's just still no inventory and there's no quick fix. That's the thing. Everyone keeps asking me, well, how long is this going to go on? And it's going to be a long time because there's no quick fix. There's no switch that you can flip that's going to say, okay, well, now we have enough inventory. They can only build so many houses. Investors can only sell so many houses. You know, a lot of them are deciding to cash in right now, Mike, and that's a number I'm tracking. I could tell you that multifamily listings are going up. Last week, it spiked up a little bit. 37 new active multifamily listings in our Northeast Ohio area. But still, overall inventory is still extremely low.
Okay, so we've got a podcast coming up, which will probably be uploaded before this is uploaded. And in fact, I might have Amari upload this after our podcast. So folks, you're going to see right after you listen to this, there's going to be one with Councilman Tony Cuda. And Tony Cuda is on the housing committee in Cleveland Heights. And we did a podcast where I respectfully was all over his ass in terms of getting these vacant foreclosed properties that are just sitting there like zombies to the market. Now, Cleveland Heights has about, I want to say, 800 vacant houses just sitting there. And I mean, so there could be another, if Cleveland Heights can get their act together, a wave coming in from these foreclosures, which could be good investment opportunities for people to pick up and fix up. And these are in areas that if we can get certain areas in Cleveland Heights, I'm thinking of the Noble Road area, that can get these vacant houses cleaned up, everybody in that area would benefit in terms of price appreciation. So comments on that?
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing is you mentioned foreclosures, and everyone's asking the question, you know, are we heading for another wave of foreclosures? Anything's possible, but the difference between now and 2008 to 2010 is that we didn't have a housing shortage back then, and demand is still high and rates are still so low that a wave of foreclosures would ease the tension of this seller's market, but there's so many buyers waiting that I think the wave would get gobbled up. It wouldn't be like 2008 to 2010 where the wave overwhelmed us. There was just so many houses that hit the market. People were losing value on their home. Now, if I'm in a tight spot, I can list my home and sell it and not be in the red.
Right. Exactly. Well, I think one, you know, our listeners interested in investing with us, the Mike and Mike team, we're going to really explore these, what I call these nuisance abatement pool of houses. And these wouldn't even be showing up on the MLS. These would be almost private sales where you go after the LLC that's holding on to it or the estate, and you spend a little extra work digging to maybe do a private sale on these vacant houses. So it wouldn't even get into an MLS. It would be getting into a place where there's really nobody home, no buyer. It's just sitting there. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, we've talked about that quite a bit, Mike, and the hard part is tracking down the people, you know, tracking down the decision maker, someone who can actually do something about it. But I love that strategy, and it's the boots on the ground that make it possible, you know, to actually go knock on a door, or, you know, knock on the door of the councilman and make them twist their arm into making something happen, you know, getting the HOA or the city to put some pressure on these people that aren't maintaining their houses, and, you know, be ready to swoop in and help remedy the situation. That's really the thing.
Hey, let's stop here. We got to pay some bills. 30 seconds, and we'll be back. If you've been listening to this podcast, then you understand or should understand the pitfalls of investing in Cleveland real estate. Say you're looking for an investment property to rent, and these are the things that could happen and often do. You overpay for a house and it's in the ghetto. Then you find that it's a money pit with endless surprise repairs. Your hapless property manager, who may be the brother-in-law of the realtor, gets a tenant who after 3 months stops paying the rent. Then the toilet explodes, and you have nobody to repair it because, guess what? The property manager is not answering the phone. Yep, that's the ugly side of the Cleveland real estate market. But we have a solution. Buy one of our properties. It's been inspected. It's been vetted. It's in a rock-solid part of town. It comes with a Gold Star tenant, paying top dollar rent, and we manage it. Call us at 216-371-8160 if you're interested.
Yeah, we're going to have to spend some time on that, kind of think it through. The city's not making it easy to do that, and that would be a tremendous boost to the city's bottom line. You know, and we've talked about this ad nauseum on podcasts, so I don't want to necessarily bore listeners with going down this road again, but just be aware that Tony Kuda, Councilman podcast, which we've already recorded, is going to be a really, really interesting podcast that's going to address that situation. Okay, keep going on the heat check and the analytics, Mike. Anything else to add?
Well, I think I rattled off the numbers I had handy. Just, you know, to put this in perspective, though, I think that someone who's just listening and saying, okay, what's that mean? Number of listings is down, shortage of inventory. I'll put this in a historical perspective for you. From 2012, when we were probably at the very bottom of the recession, the height of the buyer's market, that was 9,000 to 10,000 active listings on the market. That's what a buyer's market looked like. Fast forward 5 years, it's a balanced market. You know, it's not crazy one way or the other. You've got buyers and sellers.
So that would be around 2017, 2018, right?
Exactly. That's when things started turning around. We're turning the corner. We're feeling good about the market. And that's about 5,000 to 6,000 active listings. Fast forward another 5 years, we're at 1,800. You know, there's just not enough homes on the market for the number of buyers that are out there.
And why is that? Why? I'm curious. How does that happen? Why wouldn't people that were desperate to sell have already sold, right? And there are more buyers because they're sick of renting. They see an opportunity, interest rate. I mean, tell me why there are more buyers now.
Well, here's what I can tell you. There's a lot of debate going on exactly what the biggest factors are. I can tell you a bunch of little things that added up to create this problem of inventory shortage. The first one is during the recession and even coming out of the recession, there were builders that went out of business. There were builders that just put everything on hold. They went into remodeling, or even the big builders, Ryan, Pulte, those guys, they really hit the brakes and no one was building spec. You know, the building a spec home, building a home, and then planning on selling it when it's done, that was unheard of after the recession. People lost their shirts because they had to sit on homes that they couldn't sell, and they either rented them or lost them, or lost a half-built house. That was the worst thing. So the lack of new construction was one of the big factors that caused this inventory shortage leading up.
Right.
Now that the builders are ramping up again, now they're up against rising costs. Rising materials costs and shortages, rising labor costs and shortage of labor, shortage of labor. You see it at Burger King and McDonald's. Well, it's also affecting the trades. They can't get people and they're being forced to offer more and more money and more benefits. So it's not even like they could say, well, we'll just hire five more crews. They just don't have five more crews to offer. So it's this double-edged sword of, yeah, you want to build more, but you can't because there's no materials and there's no labor. So that's okay. Number one.
Okay.
Number two is what we talk about all the time. You know, how ripe the Cleveland market was for investors for so many years. And it still is good, but it wasn't that big, juicy, low-hanging fruit that it used to be. You know, Mike, when we were talking about this stuff during the recession and up to like 2016, people were buying houses and they couldn't believe the returns. I'm buying an $80,000 house that rents for $1,200 a month. You know, what's happened is the investors caught on and the market has been flooded with investors buying houses. So there's more demand. They're gobbling up all these houses that would normally be purchased by owner occupants, and they're competing with the owner occupants for houses. So more demand means less supply for the people who are trying to move in and live in these houses. Quick stat for you. I don't have the exact number because it's hard to measure, but in the city of Cleveland proper, they're estimating somewhere between 50 and 70% of the purchases made in Cleveland proper were made by investors or LLCs. So that means that less than half of the homes bought in Cleveland proper were owner occupants. So that tells you, all these investors are gobbling up the inventory because they finally got wise to how good the returns were here. Those are the two biggest factors. I could go on. I think there's some other minor factors going on. Just overall demand was higher because rates were so low. Rent going up, it became more affordable to buy than it did to rent.
Right. Exactly. Well, we talked about this in a prior podcast with Will about how these LLCs buying it up and the city is behind the eight ball, adjusting to being the sheriff for these LLCs coming in, who are buying it and not really developing it. And, you know, when I talk to people in the city, they say, oh, these out-of-state investors, they're bad. Problem is, don't have out-of-state investors. No, the answer is you have to regulate that. Your housing has to look at these people fixing up these houses and make sure they're fixed up in the right way. So anyways, we talked about that earlier. So yeah, that makes sense. And so the million-dollar question is this a time for somebody to buy? Or again, is the answer like we've said in the past, you just have to do more work to find the deal?
Yeah, I still think you got to work harder to buy right now, without a doubt. There's no one with a secret, you know, or what do they call it, a magic bullet to say, oh, I'm going to find you five deals at the drop of a hat. No, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to work hard to find the deals. But I think this is going to sound like a wishy-washy answer, Mike, but I'm going to defend it here in a second. It's a good time to buy and it's a good time to sell. So for the right people, if you're, you know, if you're 75 years old and you still own some rentals, my God, what are you doing? The market's at a peak. Why are you hanging on to these things and still working so hard with it? Cash out. It's a great time to cash out. But on the other hand, I think prices are still going to keep going up. And our prices compared to our rent ratios are still excellent. So compared to what you might earn in other investment sectors, I think that real estate is still a good investment. So wishy-washy, but yeah, good time to buy and good time to sell.
I think what I heard a great phrase the last couple of weeks on the halftime report on CNBC when they're talking about investing in stocks. And the new phrase coming out of Wall Street is that the market has changed, where last year, everybody got a participation medal last year.
Love it.
Okay. This year, no, you don't get a participation medal just because you bought stocks. And, you know, I'm seeing that in my own personal portfolio. You know, we've gone through a roller coaster and, but last year, every stock went up. If you owned a stock last year, I mean, you're buying it. Everybody was who got into it was buying at the bottom. It's just like what we did when we bought our real estate, you know, 10 years ago post crash. We were just picking up these deals, you know, left and right. Now it's different. Now it's a stock picker's market. You have to do your due diligence. There's deals to be made, but you have to just because you buy something doesn't mean it's going to turn out in terms of a stock investment. So same, I guess, to is that a good way of summing up? Good analogy for our real estate?
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect. Yes.
Okay, so we'll recut this. So participation medal is no more in real estate. You have to find somebody who's good at finding the deals. And that's where a good realtor like Mike Ferrante and his team, plug, is the way to go, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike, I think I mentioned this on a podcast, but we talked about how back in the day, my ratio was for every three offers I wrote, we got one accepted. Now it's probably more like 9 or 10 to 1. So you just got to work a little harder at it. And you have to be prepared that every offer you submit is not going to turn into a purchase.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. So does that conclude our heat check in the middle of a cold, dreary February?
Heat check concluded, white hot market, still a seller's market. And I don't think we have quite yet reached the bottom, the plateau in this inventory shortage, but I do believe it's coming soon. I think 2022 is going to see things kind of level off. I think interest rates rising will help it level off. And the continued building of all the builders is going to help with that as well.
Yeah, the supply chain is going to ease up.
Yep.
We're going to get a little bit more immigration. You're going to get people coming up in from Mexico to work on some of these crews like they used to. So, okay.
Yep.
Now, final question, which is, given all that, is there such a thing as the spring market in Cleveland, which used to be the, you know, everybody would wait until what, middle of March to put their house on the market for the legendary spring market? Does that exist anymore?
Yeah. So every year for the last 10 years and even beyond that, but I just recently measured 10 years, we see this seasonality of our market. Traditionally, winter number of listings goes down and the sales slow down. Market time goes up because it's a slower time of year. Prices even dip a little bit in the winter, which we've seen that to some extent this winter, not very dramatic like we've seen in past years where prices could dip 10% in the winter. But yes, I think by April, May, you're going to see a lot of new listings hitting the market. And I think it's going to get wild again. I think prices are going to rise. Market time is going to go down. The shortest market time we had last year was 10 days to sell a house, which is just insane to me. I don't even know how that's possible.
Well, they do that in LA. Yeah, it's 10 hours. It's not 10 days.
Right.
Okay. For all you LA people out there. enjoying the sunshine. Okay, so the spring market is coming. We're going to pick that up in sometime in late March. Hopefully, the snow will be gone, and they're calling for a warmer March. So we'll do our heat check next month, along with a peek at the upcoming spring market. Any final thoughts, Mike, before we wrap this up?
Final thoughts is, if you're buying, don't wait. Those rates are going to go up. How do I know? The Fed told us they're going to raise rates this year.
All right. Not only a great realtor, but he's got his drawing on his economic crystal ball. All right, Mike. We will catch up to you in the next couple of weeks. I'll be reporting from the Florida Keys and with my own personal heat check to Mike Ferrante.
Looking forward.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Cleveland Real Estate Investor Podcast with Mike Riley. Please add our show or follow us on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. Leave a like or comment on the video. All engagement is appreciated. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well for video content coming soon. For any Cleveland listeners or Cleveland Browns fans, you can check out our other podcast, Cleveland Browns Anonymous, for our weekly group therapy session. This is also on all the same platforms as the Cleveland Real Estate Investor.